Good morning. Kathleen Turner, pleased to meet you.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Sometimes when I bring one of these videos to the show, I don't talk about this, but I have this feeling when I bring a national anthem to the show, I always feel as though I should play the entire thing because I feel like if we play a few bars of it and then we cut it off, it's not right. However, in this particular instance, playing all of it is just something I have to do.
You're a patriot.
That should be how we start every show.
I agree.
It's not because anthem. I'm a patriot. I don't.
Will you take your hat off during it?
Oh, he's pushing already.
You see, you receiving that. That's I'm not pushing.
All right, calm down. We'll get to you in a second. The national anthem should be our countdown video.
We're all in the right state of mind.
Can you hear me, Josh?
Yes.
Very good. Let me start again, gentlemen. This came across my feed, and I believe it's fresh. I hope it's fresh. If it's not, I don't care. I'm playing it anyway. This is from an Islander hockey game. I think it's a playoff game. Don't even know whether that's true or not, but this one I got to play from beginning to end because it's just so darn sweet. And boy, I really hope it's that. You know,
I can't read you if you're being sarcastic.
No, it is sweet. It is sweet.
Okay, all right.
And sometimes when I play these, it's like, oh, that was 7 years ago. I don't give a rat's ass when
it came
out. I hope it's fresh. Please enjoy this version of the national anthem that I thought was just super cool. Roll the tape.
And here to perform our national anthem.
Oh, my God.
Please welcome 104-year-old World War II Army veteran, Staff Sergeant Dominic Critelli.
Takes him a while. He's waving to the crowd, and he is every inch of 104. He's got his Islanders jersey on, and he's got his
clarinet?
Kenny G, whatever, the alto sax, I believe. I'm not sure what that is, but I'm pretty sure it's an alto sax.
Do you think he got to do this because he's mobbed up?
This is so cool. So now he's getting it ready, getting it arranged, and he's about to play on his alto sax the national anthem. And you're like, oh, I hope he doesn't have too many clunkers.
No.
And here he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Take it away. Not sure how old is
December.
Got 104 on his jersey, on his Islanders jersey.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's great.
Crowd is enthralled. They are.
Yep.
They're enthralled. They're delighted. Listen to that.
Josh didn't say, oh.
I muted my mic.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the response.
Ladies and gentlemen, Staff Sergeant Dominic Critelli.
He's still holding the note. Oh, it's great.
He held the note. He held two notes at the very end. God bless our World War II veterans. If that does not make you feel patriotic. That's it. It doesn't get better than that, in my humble opinion.
Could I pass a question to the Islanders? It's probably not the best to put a 102-year-old man out on ice.
They laid the carpet down.
They had the carpeting. Yeah,
I understand. In the wheelchair,
you're a little low for me.
How is that?
That was
from December, so not too old.
That's December, and that's just fresh. Beautiful. Just a beautiful moment.
Thing. I love it.
And it's probably been played at other places. I don't care. It was wonderful, and I thought it would be a cool thing. And, well, now that we've done that for you, we get progressively more insane. Let's wake Eddie up, shall we, before the show gets started? Come on, Eddie. Time to get up, Eddie. Let's wake Eddie up.
Eddie, would you like to get up?
Oh, he's in middle school.
He goes back to bed. Eddie doesn't want to get up.
No.
Now we have another one for Eddie. We have another one for Eddie too.
He's way tucked
Eddie.
In.
Eddie, we have to get up. Sorry,
poor
bud.
Dog. Oh, no.
It's okay.
Thanks, Rob. That's Eddie.
We have to get up, buddy. I know, bud.
Eddie.
Okay, sweetheart. It's morning.
That's not a sweetheart.
No.
It's morning. Don't bite.
Eddie. F you, Eddie.
I love when a dog puts his head down like it's his job.
Wait, it's okay. Two more minutes. Come on.
Two more minutes like a kid.
I know. It's a dog.
Eddie. That's Eddie, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he is roughly the same size but darker than Frankie was.
But he's also, I don't know if it's the same breed. I don't think that's Chihuahua.
Did Frankie have ever that attitude?
No.
Not even towards the end?
Nah, Frankie was fine.
Okay.
He'd fight with the dogs once in a while, with the Beluga. Mm-hmm. I can't even keep track of my dogs that I've had in my life. And we leave you today just to open things up on the show with an old friend from the East, old friend from Asia. I've missed him, and once again, I don't account for the dates on these. I just tell you what comes my way. If I'm sharing it for the first time and you've seen it again, screw you.
All right.
Go ahead and roll our Asian friend, please.
Oh.
Is that tape?
I don't know.
It looked like tubes.
He's got some sort of stack of cards, and he's attaching it to his nipples. He's spectacular. By the way, his feed.
Rob will be practicing that for the cruise.
Yeah.
His feed is the writing is from the East, so it's not
evil. It's mysterious.
It's mysterious, yeah. And you're not able to get that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very, very interesting week on the show, and. The main reason it's been interesting is for my friend to the left on your screen here, Mr. Rob Spiewak, who has had some issues this week. We've been enumerating the issues. So last night I take my kid down to baseball practice for his All-Star team. There's drama there. I'll get to that sometime later in the show. But for now, I wanted to... share that after yesterday, Josh, when you were listening in for part of it before got to Disney, and you know that it was, you know, he's got some things going on, and well,
he
I don't
has
know
a name. You can always refer to me by Rob. That's fine.
Rob has some things going on.
And so I'm driving back from a baseball practice a little after 8 p.m., 8 at night, and the phone rings, and I see Rob.
Oh, he didn't call you till 8?
Yeah, he called me at 8. Oh. What time did he call you?
No, I'm just kidding. Like called you
first. Don't make me more paranoid than I am. That's another thing. I don't want to digress. I'll get to that in a second, too. The phone rings, and Michael would tell you as he's driving along, I go, oh, God. I go, oh, God, as I see him. And
him has a name.
Rob, who's calling me, and I'm like, what now? What could it possibly be now? And I answer the phone, and I'm sure you got that in my tone. I was like,
absolutely.
I literally, this is the tone I answered the phone with. I went, hello?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it was something else with your health. That what was your cankles? What was I'll let you take it from here, Rob.
Okay.
Since it's you about you
again. And I apologize for my failing health. It sucks. I hate it too.
But you don't take care of yourself, so that's the problem.
Okay. I mean, Mike, you say that, but I can tell you this:
let's get to what the doctors say.
Okay.
I had a swollen ankle over the weekend, but no pain. And Mike, that's not uncommon for me because of the liver issues and the kidney issues. I'm on Lasix to prevent fluid retention.
And sometimes, Josh said running.
I said running.
A running. Yeah. I thought it was ramen. No. Eats ramen. Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
And because of that, sometimes I skip the Lasix because it says optional one a day or every other day. And if you skip it, it's great because you don't pee all day. And I don't know if you've ever been on a diuretic like that. It will make you pee all day.
I don't think most of our listeners have been on a diuretic.
Okay, well, maybe we're speaking to some racehorses then. But they know that it makes you pee all day, and it's a drag. And so I thought, well, maybe that's it. So I took my diuretic on Sunday. Swelling was still there. When I woke up yesterday, the swelling was a little worse. But through the day on Monday, it started to actually hurt, which is weird. I've never had that before. And so I started Googling, of course, and I was convinced it was a blood clot that was going to break off and go to my lung and kill me. So I texted my my doctor, and I sent him, this is a lucky guy, I sent him pictures of my swollen leg, and I said, what do we do here? Is this like a, do I ice this? Is this something that I have an appointment with you in 6 days? Can it wait till then? Do I go to urgent care?
What time is all this going down?
I texted him right after the show yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. So you did it in short order then.
Yeah, because the pain was there. And I said, well, this is not right. And I said, or is this an emergency room?
Then I must apologize to you, even though you don't know, because I was saying to myself, well, he waits till nighttime to do all this. And no, you were dealing with it right after we taped yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't expect an immediate text back from a doctor. He's very busy, but he texted me back at 4 or so. No, I'm sorry, at 8, I should say. And he said, this
8
p.m.? Yeah. This looks like an emergency room visit to me.
Whoa. Oh, wait.
Hold everything right now.
Because if it was an emergency appointment at 10 a.m., at 8 p.m., you could be dead.
That's true.
So we taped yesterday at 3.
Right. Finished at 4:30. That's when
4:30, I texted him. 4:30, you tape him, and he says, go to the ER 4 hours later?
Well, 3.5. But also, it's a privilege to have a doctor that you can text as opposed to just guessing to go to the emergency room.
Sure.
And so I appreciated his guidance. I told him that. And I said, I'll see you next week. He said, okay. So I go in there.
He tells you to go to the ER?
Yeah.
And you say you'll see him next week?
Well, I have an appointment with him on the 11th anyway. So one of the things I asked him, I said, is this something that can wait until I see you? Because it takes 2 months to get a doctor's appointment.
What did he say when he responded to you 3 hours later?
He said, this looks like an ER visit to me. And I said, okay. So I finished up dinner because, oh, Mike, I want to thank you. Things are great with me and the wife right now because I did have dinner waiting for her when she got home.
Oh, good.
Good move.
I wasn't there, but Robert made sure it got served.
Oh, and you left a note? I'm at the hospital?
No. I called her.
Where were you? She gets home 4:30, doesn't she?
Well, she had an after-work thing yesterday. She was selling tickets at the game.
Okay. All right. So she got home late, and you had dinner waiting
for her. Yeah, so it was good. And she said, and they were both, I was at the ER starving, and they're both saying, dinner was so good. I said, thanks, you're helping. But I go to the ER, get a good parking place, and I said, that's...
she cares about. Man, it's funny. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I am as God made me, Mike.
I've gotten a lot of you, buddy. I really have. It's just your mind works in different ways. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay, so I get, and it looks, I don't know if you're like me, but when you pull into the emergency room lot, and I've been a couple times, not for me, but for other people, you look around and see how many cars there are, because that'll gauge how crowded it is in there. And there's plenty of parking. I said, maybe they're not busy tonight. That's great. So I park and I hobble in, and they let me in. The man in the mask at the front says, before I go through the metal detector, he says, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'm here to see a doctor because this is the emergency room. He said, okay, come in and have a seat. And there's like a preliminary seat.
You know, when they do that now, which they do at ERs, they have the security guards, and way to go, America.
My favorite part of my emergency room visit was when I went through the metal detector and I had to raise up the hook in my hand and say, will this set it off? To the security guard standing there.
The problem is that, you know, there are different layers. You've added a layer.
Yeah.
And you've added a layer of a person who's not a medical professional. And it sucks ass.
I don't really know. He kind of looked like a doctor.
No, but it's just no, like they're standing there and it's like, you know, I got to go to the ER. What do you need? Yeah. I equate that with the occasional gate guard at Walmart that wants to look at a receipt.
Sure. Yeah.
If they ask for my receipt, they ain't getting it. You're not. I paid. I have it. Pound sand.
Right.
Leave me alone. But the same thing with that guy.
Yeah. I don't like that guy. That layer.
I always assume that guy's there for overdoses and for druggies.
This guy looked like he was handing out overdoses. So I get in and there's like a chair that's not in the waiting room, but it's like a waiting chair to get to the to talk to the lady that's at the desk. And I go and I sit down, and I'm there maybe 90 seconds, and another lady comes in next to me, and she's standing by me. I said, "Would you like the chair? That's fine if you like the chair."
Well, I'm confused.
Why?
Because you're sleepy, and I want to make sure we get. So you go through the security guard,
right?
And then you go like to a window, right, where somebody's going to.
No, first there's like a chair where you wait for the window, but there's only one chair, and so I sat in it.
I'm confused. It's not like a waiting area that you.
It's a waiting area to check into the waiting area.
Exactly, and so, but before I can finish up with this lady telling her she should have the chair, like in a minute and a half, they bring me over to the check-in, which is surprising, very fast, and. She says, hi, what brings you here? I said, it's my leg. She says, I know, I saw you walking over here. So I feel really gross about that because it does not look good at this point. How it was described to me, it was swollen, red, warm to the touch, and you'll love this. No, I won't even say the last word.
Thank you. Good.
Okay. Did you bring the photo?
I do have lots of photos because I was instructed to, but I will not be sharing them.
I know there might be a portion of the audience that's curious. Yeah. Not necessary in my humble opinion.
Here's a clue to the audience. If I don't send the photos, don't be weeping.
Okay. All right.
I thought that was subtle enough. Mm-hmm. So she talks me through the whole thing. There's a guy behind her that starts by like taking my blood work, like not blood work, but like the finger in the monitor, and he's checking all my
stuff.
You're
in triage now.
Yeah. But while I'm sitting with the lady getting my paperwork done, they're starting to do the things. He takes my temperature.
Okay, because you're a priority case because of the situation.
Yeah, and then I stand up.
They can see across the room.
Yeah, and he says, it's throwing off.
You can see the elephant man coming in across the room.
It's a dull red glow, Mike. And so I'm finishing up there, and she says, I just sent you a text so you can finish your registration. I said, that's pretty cool, so you don't have to sit with a clipboard.
Our commenters diabetes. That's terrible.
That is terrible. And before I can even get to the text, a guy brings me back. He weighs me. He blood pressures me. He does all my stuff. And then they bring me a wheelchair and they put me back in room 29. And it's like, wow, right away. And the bed is comfy.
Are you scared during all this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
It gets less scary as time goes on because they tell me things that are good to hear. But I really did go in there thinking that at any time the clot could kill me. But it
well, do you think it's a blood clot?
I don't, because they actually did an ultrasound.
No, no. Do you think it's a blood clot
at
when you
point,
go in?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you told me on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, all signs pointed to it because, okay. I mean, if you Google symptom to symptom to symptom to symptom, it all matched up. Right. And that's sort of freaky. But at least it didn't lead to cancer, because that's normally what Googling does. And so I go back, and right away they said, you'll be seen by a nurse, and then the doctor will come back and talk to you. I said, great. And then right after that, the doctor himself shows up, like no delay. And he looks at it and he says,
"Well, wait. So you go from triage. They put you in a room,
yeah.
And then you get a nurse that comes in, and then in short order, the doctor comes in right after that.
No, they drop me off in the room, and it's not much of a room. It's a curtained off area, but they give me my own area. And before the lady that drops me there and says, "Get up, get comfortable, and all this stuff." And she says, "Do you need anything for the pain?" I said, "No, I'd be showing off if I did that. I don't want to be selfish and take pain medication right now.
Okay.
I can deal with it." But she says, "Here, sit here. Another nurse will be back. His name is Connor, and then the doctor will see you."
Somebody said, "Just turned tuned in. Was this yesterday?" Welcome to my world, dude.
Yeah. I wish them all the best, Mike. I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I wish you, what's the name?
Comment.
Pio Broderick. I wish you all the best and good health for you and your family.
As time goes by, our
God forbid you ever take a spouse and have offspring. I wish them all the best, too.
Stop
be ashamed
it.
If their house
so the doctor
down.
Comes in.
Yeah, and he looks at it and he says, not a clot. It's infection. It looks infection related to me.
Oh, God.
And I said, "Well, that's weird. Why?" And I just got off antibiotics.
What your old man had, right?
No.
An infection.
Well, yeah, but I mean, not to this. His was a lot more advanced than this.
I know. But it was infection. That would freak me out.
It did.
Dealt with that.
And I said, so it's not a blood clot? He says, "No, I really don't think so. We'll do an ultrasound and make sure, but it looks everything like infection to me." Now Mike will say something that's in the chat room.
No. Don't anticipate. Just go ahead. Just tell your story. No, I'm just listening.
You're
like
not.
The listeners
you're reading.
Are.
You're
of
reading.
Course I look over. It's the only thing that keeps it fun.
Ouch.
Listening to your health again is not exactly what I just want to get it out of the way, to be honest with you. So the doctor comes in, says it's not a clot. Then what happens?
He says it's probably an infection and we'll have to look at that. And then the nurse comes in. He was great. He was funny. He was lighthearted. He was calming in a way that, you know, you don't want to be all worked up. He says, "This looks like an infection. I'm going to go ahead and take some blood now because they're going to ask for blood in 20 minutes and I want to already have it for them." He was like way ahead of the thing. He says, "Are you okay?"
I said, have to say that I think, and this is not based on the pit with Noah Wiley, but I think ER physicians, doctors in ERs are maybe the best physicians we have in the world.
I have no complaints about last night.
Yeah. They have to be. They have to be so smart and so fast and so knowledgeable. And they see such a huge amount of people that I think it makes them better physicians.
So this chief nurse, not the blonde nurse from the pit, but a young man.
What was her name? Do you remember her name from the pit?
Oh,
you didn't get any sleep. I don't expect you to pull that one. But go ahead.
So he says, "Are you comfortable?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you need a blanket?" I said, "No." He again asked, "Do you need any painkillers?" I said, "No." He said, "Are you comfortable?" I said, "I'm doing okay." He said, "Well, I've got to put a line in your arm. Let's
that
at least
is, by the way, not a great answer for a physician to assess where you are, but it is a standard Rob Spiewak answer. Are you in pain? Are you all right? Are you in pain? I'm doing okay.
Well, Mike, if you want to know what I actually said.
That's the thing. Stop BSing and tell people
what
you actually
BSing.
Said.
It's not BSing. I said, yeah, it hurts, but I can deal with it.
Okay.
I don't need a painkiller.
That's different.
Right.
All right.
It hurts, but I don't want to be a burden.
Right. Well, no, not a burden. I think it would be selfish to take pain medicine. I mean, I've had trouble with those things in the past. I don't want to.
Are you comfortable? I make a good living.
Now that's funny. That is funny.
Go ahead.
And so they take the blood pressure cuff off me. They put the line in me.
An
IV line in my arm, so they can take blood. Oh. And later, so they can actually put antibiotic in.
Okay.
So I got the little tail there. But they're doing everything. They're stopping by. They're making sure everything's
good. You're
happy
with the experience.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good.
And so they do everything. They run the blood. They run the, the ultrasound. The nurse is doing the ultrasound. She keeps saying, "Does it hurt?" I said, "Yep." She said, "Oh, okay."
The ultrasound on your leg?
Yeah, because the leg is very sore. It's tender, the whole thing. It sucks. And but we get through it. There are no clots, which is great. There is an infection. It was diagnosed as, and I have my report here, as left leg cellulitis, which is a skin infection.
Cellulitis.
Yes. I'm sorry, I misread that. Cellulitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, that's really weird because I just came off antibiotics on Sunday. Why would I have an infection? And they look at me and he says, "Well, you were taking a Z-Pak. That's mostly for head and nasal stuff. That's not good for skin infections." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "What do you suppose brought this on?" He says, "You've been on steroids twice in the past couple months, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, that lowers your tolerance, and it's going to make you more."
God, you got to be sick of dealing with this crap.
You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But so he said, "That's probably what happened," and they gave me a mega top of the line dose of
antibiotics.
Antibiotic in the hospital. Mm-hmm. It goes from 0.5 to 2 units. They gave me 2 units. They sent me home with 2 prescriptions. So I'll be on antibiotics for 2 weeks. I hope that it does take care of all of it. One of the most entertaining things, and you brought up the picture, is the nurse said, "Make sure you take a picture of your leg every day to see if you're making progress. And here, this will help you." And he pulled out a sterilized pack. It looked like a syringe. I'm like, "What am I going to do with a syringe?" He says, "This is a body pen. I want you to go home and outline where you can see the redness of the infection, so you know in a couple days if it's advanced
or
retreated." It's just an
I thought you said pin.
No, no, no. It's like just like a...
It.
No, no. It's
so they want you to circle the infection.
Well, no, outline the infection. And
okay.
So that's
same thing.
Pretty gross, but it makes sense. And, you know, in the days of before...
This had to be there for a little while, I would think.
Well, the infection was in the body, they said. And it just began to manifest itself. And I said, "What are the symptoms of it?" He says, "Usually like a
Nurse Dana is the lady's name.
That's it. I should remember
Thank
that.
You, Shannon Fisher. Appreciate it.
He said, "Well, you know, if it's in your body, it's going to result in probably a lot of tiredness and fatigue." And also
the same thing I did. People are not nice.
I
Do you
want to
read
hi.
The one that's funny?
No. Nope. Oh, you can. I mean, go ahead. But I'm not going
to. Rob ever tried exercising?
Yeah.
Even a daily 2 to 3 mile walk. You used to do that, right?
Yeah.
And you've lost weight. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they
I think
told
I'm
you,
actually quite proud of my weight right now.
And then they told you the infection would cause drowsiness.
Sleepiness. And coughing. So I'm like, why in the hell?
Which is why you slept the other day, because you had an infection in your body. It all makes sense.
It
all
does.
Together.
It does. And in a way, that was sort of a relief. I hate the fact that it's an infection.
It's a relief to me now that I hear that, because that's absolutely true. That's why you were so out of it the other day.
And also waking up that day, you know, it's like I had a little pain, but it didn't look like anything like it looks now. It came on awfully fast.
It can manifest itself in other areas of the body. Yeah, right. So
instead
that's
of
what it was.
Three different things, it's all narrowed down to one.
That's
like
right.
One thing caused all your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My leg. My left leg, which I will be hopefully holding
on
to.
You never used it anyway.
No.
Yeah.
But got home at about 1:30 or 2 and took my pictures of my leg and circled my infection and
Toadie
off
Fields,
to bed. What a day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's
you
that
see,
is a really
I was
going to
say that, but I thought I'd get grief for it.
Josh, there was a lady named Toadie Fields. She was a fat comedian, and she... I think they ended up removing her legs.
But
right?
She kept performing after.
She kept performing
after.
She had diabetes.
So brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Fields. Josh
yeah,
Wicker
the only place I walk is the golf course. You're goddamn right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
But so he said, don't expect any results from the antibiotics for 24 to 48 and keep track of it. And if it gets worse or if I have chest pain, God forbid, or
why
hard time breathing.
Why chest pain? Now, see, I try to be distant and then I get that nasty feeling. And why chest pain?
It's an infection, and it could spread.
Why chest pain, though? Chest pain's your heart.
No, an infection can go anywhere.
Yeah, it can spread.
But why do they specifically say chest pain?
Because that's a really bad place to get it. He said fevers, chest pain, hard time breathing. And so I'll know much more in 2 days. I get to go and pick up my antibiotics today. So,
when you outline the infection,
yeah,
how big is it?
Let's see.
Oh, no.
We don't want to see it.
Don't look at it.
I'm looking at it.
Gross.
The infection probably goes up, it's splotchy at the top because it's not like a clean line, but probably a little more than halfway up my shin.
So it's a big,
so about
a
foot.
It's a big area. Yeah, about a foot. And,
no, he said shin. All right.
Anyway. If you look at my legs, next to each other, which is gorgeous.
What did they say about your lips? Thank you, BC Travis.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure that's a side effect, too.
Yeah, look at Mike being sorry, everybody. Do you need a moment? Jerk.
I'm sorry. Oh, God damn.
You know what they said about my lips?
Yeah, they're beautiful, sure.
No, they didn't. They didn't. They just said his mom liked them.
Do they, during all this, is there any discussion of kind of a plan, like to just get everything in line? You've got some, I mean, I don't know, you know, is there any kind of
plan going forward?
You've had so many issues.
But
you know,
it sounds like the infection caused many of them.
Yeah, and who knows how long the infection has been in there? There's no way to tell. They didn't do. They never did any blood. 30 years. They never did any blood work at the stupid instant care or whatever it is, urgent care. They just went with symptoms. And I know that this is going to sound like a stupid revelation, but I'm beginning to think that's not the best source of care because
of course it's not.
They're not. I mean,
to be honest with you, the individuals that are, at least down here in Florida, that are involved in that racket have been quite sus, as my
The thing that troubles me is I've never seen the same doctor there twice.
No, it's like
you're getting a midnight
carnival.
The lowest
possible level of care.
And every time I've gone in there, they've done what I've told them, essentially. You know, they do the checkup.
It's like going to a mall dentist.
Same crap. So I'm going to try to avoid that in the future. I'm going to get this infection cured. And I do have it. And the reason that you guys sort of rolled your eyes a little bit, my doctor is very hard to get into. And this appointment that I have next week, I made 2 months ago. And I also missed two appointments
that's
with him.
Being in a population center.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I missed two appointments with him because I was down with my dad in Miami. So I really should have seen him about 5 months ago, but it just, it didn't avail itself.
Okay.
So there is a plan. I also think that I need to, I'll make this very brief. I need to reexamine my, my mood meds. I don't think Prozac is doing me any good, but I'm not going to quit it straight out because when you stop cold turkey on a mood med, you can do more damage than good. I don't know about the Wellbutrin. We'll see. I'll talk to him. He's very good at it, balancing it. I think the sleepiness is also a side effect of the Prozac causes sleepiness. That's well known.
Okay.
So, yeah, there is a plan, Mike. I have every
is Kevin your doctor?
Why?
Because the Shannon Fisher, who's all over it today, says Kevin is hard to get into.
Yeah, I bet Shannon's not hard to get into.
Oh, that's uncalled for.
That
is it, Kevin?
Yeah, it's my doctor.
Yeah,
Dr.
He's been
Kevin
mentioned before.
Yeah, the man who saved my life, essentially.
He's
do
like
you
a
think
young
you
man.
Need a life
he's like
alert
30.
Bracelet?
No, I don't. Do you think? I mean, do you think I do?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was one isolated incident, and understand how.
No, I don't think you're at that situation here, and it's a drag.
I can drive with an infected leg. I proved it last night.
I think you need a plan
to
avoid illness. I think you need what would they call preventative like plan? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I don't know.
We all have our issues as we get older.
I've got an ENT I like, and I probably need to go to him to just figure out why I'm coughing all year round. And it could be anything. I mean, we've looked at a lot of
things. What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, if not, if he doesn't, the handicap lines at King's Dominion are always short.
Yeah. I don't think my leg would fit in some of the cars, though.
No, I think you have lost a good amount of weight.
Yeah.
You've had some serious major organ damage. So, you know, that's probably something.
Luckily, the liver is regenerative, though. It's actually doing quite well.
But talk really to Kevin about, hey, I have been, you know, read him the Riot Act, really, to be honest with you. This is your main guy who you like. And tell him, you know, can I have some sort of, what can I do to, you know, you're willing to do whatever you need to do.
Exactly. I've done it before.
To not have to go through this crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But
people say, well, he made his own bet. No, F that. Right now, you know, as long as he's on this side of the grass, he's got to, you know, do the best he can and deal with it. So that's it.
Yeah. I mean, you can do what you can do, and I will do it. And I've done it. I mean, 50 months sober this month. I'm very proud of that.
And, you know, I think that you need to ask about, you know, the preventative attitude. And I think that you're not going to like what I have to say, but
that's
even
right.
with your weight loss, you know, sometimes when people get very, very ill, they attack it with what they put in their body, with diet.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And maybe you're not eating the right stuff.
Well,
and,
I'm certainly not eating perfect. I know that.
But I mean, and I don't know whether perfect would help you, but I just, you know, I want you to be better.
I appreciate it.
I want you to get better.
And I'm really, you know what? It would just do me the best to my mood to not have to come in and complain about my health.
Well,
thank you for letting me talk
about it with us. It is very nice of you. And for the commentary on the side, the reason I look at it is because it does keep it light for me because I am concerned. And so sometimes I don't want to do shtick. When I'm listening to you, I actually want to get an update. So,
well, we'll see you all at the Celebration of Rob.
Celebration of Rob. I forgot.
Hey, my blood pressure is perfect, by the way.
That's a good. Well, that's good for you. That's wonderful,
Mike. You look for a silver lining.
Let's go and not talk about your health for a while, and hopefully everything will straighten itself out. You know,
I don't see anything bad happening till Tuesday.
Excuse me. That's wonderful. Hey, Josh, did I say I was going to do a live in this first segment or
no.
not?
Two and three.
No.
Pre-record.
All right. We got the news tidbits coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. And, you know, did you get one last question? Because they're all on hitting on all eight. Mm-hmm. For our people in the comment, in the chat group, thank you for bringing a little funny into a very difficult situation. Did you get any of the dinner that they had at home?
I'd like to say something to LC Knight. First of all, beautiful picture.
Yeah.
And I had dinner. Did you have dinner?
What was it?
It was braised beef, carrots, and mashed potatoes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
It was delicious.
Okay. That's it.
I'm guilty of eating dinner, jackass.
Let's move on. We will be back with the tidbits, please. Thank you. Hey, fudge cutters. Mike O'Mara here. I want to share something my wife Carla is really excited about at DermGlow Skin. Peptides. Peptides are natural compounds in your body that act as messengers, helping with things like repair, metabolism, sleep, and energy. Now you can supplement them all. Partnering with a trusted telehealth partner, DermGlow gives you access to doctor-prescribed peptides in all 50 states. It's simple. Take a quick online quiz, get approved, and your order ships straight to your door. Peptides can improve your energy, metabolism, and cellular health. Detox and skin support, hair, skin, and scalp health, better sleep, and the Wolverine stack for recovery and healing. And of course, GLP-1s for weight loss. Whether you're trying to lose 30 plus pounds or just the last five, there are programs and microdosing options enzymes to help with benefits like reduced cravings and better blood sugar balance. Everything is prescribed by licensed doctors safely and conveniently. If you're low on energy, struggling with weight, not sleeping well, or just not feeling your best, there may be a peptide that can help you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides to get started. DermGlowSkin.com, helping you feel better from the inside out. Let's get right to it and hit the newsy thing, if you don't mind, Rob Spiewak. Appreciate that. We've got some tidbits for you today. We start with Google. For 25 years, Google's search box was a long, slender bar where we typed in stuff like, how long is chicken good? Is permanent marker permanent? And how long should a hug be on the first date? Yesterday, Google said the AI shift inspired them to overhaul the dimensions of the search bar for the first time since 2001.
Why touch it? It's perfect.
The box is bigger and more interactive so that people can ask even longer questions.
Just like that lady in the chat room, Mike. Bigger box.
Since this AI, I have had a different deal with the search box where sometimes I'll pop something in. I used to go up to the toolbar and put a,
Use Google for like movies, actors.
Like
facts.
I'll go in and I'll put Brazzers right up
that in there.
But it's different now. They're messing with it, and I don't like it.
But if you want procedure or like a really direct question, AI is the way to go, even if it's wrong.
The box is bigger, more interactive. People can also ask follow-up questions with a chat bot within Google's main search page. Okay, I know that the people at Google feel as though they have to do this.
Right.
But it's any kind of growing pains with something that's been going on for over 20 years, it's a pain in the ass.
I don't think they need to touch it. I think that they have a tool that is Google, and then you have a tool that is AI, and I think they're different.
Well, I don't think
they need the ad money, so they need.
I guess you're right.
To be fair, I don't think leave it alone has worked for you. So that's kind of where I'm sorry I couldn't help myself.
You're not that sorry.
Somebody looks like your camera was unplugged. Plug it back in. What the hell happened?
Your camera was unplugged.
Your camera was unplugged,
and now you need to plug it back in.
All right. Everything
but you're still
frozen.
In the audio stream.
You can hear me now?
Absolutely.
Yes, we can.
All right. Everything has...
just like you're in a Prince video.
Everything is frozen on me. I'm going to have to duck out in the middle of the news.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
One of those weeks, ladies and gentlemen. I will come back and finish.
No clicking or popping, though.
No. He just decided to just disappear.
Do you think he unplugged his camera, or do you think it was a internal thing?
Well, he said his computer froze. So if everything froze, maybe it is a computer issue.
Could be. I don't like a frozen computer.
We did have a stretch early on until we got the new board.
Right.
Where it seemed like every day he would kick a wire.
Yeah.
And come unplugged.
You know, that was the explanation that Fred DeCordova always gave to Johnny Carson. Whenever anything went wrong on his 25 or 30 years on The Tonight Show, Johnny would say, Fred was the producer. He said, what went wrong? He said, I don't know. Someone kicked out a plug. And that was it. I mean, it could be a missed commercial. It could be a screwed up cue card.
Fair, back then, everything was a plug.
That's
switching
true.
Switching to commercial was probably plugging something in.
Like a big old switchboard.
Like a telephone operator.
Exactly.
You got to switch ringy from dingy. Straight to the commercial.
Now, what time did you get? I know we'll talk about it, but I'm curious. You had a late night too, right?
Yeah, I got home around 12:30.
Oh, okay.
So not as late as you. I know you texted around 2 that you were home or something.
Yeah, and I regretted. I was halfway about doing that, but I just want to let you guys know when you woke up.
No, that was great.
Yeah. It is still in the upper 90s here this week. It's going to break tomorrow. So
perfect weather for me yesterday.
Of course, because you're the golden boy.
No, it's the first time it's been. It's the best weather.
No. It's oppressive, and I'm in a hospital. I'm in an emergency room, and you're in Disney, and the weather is perfect. Good for you.
Right. I'm sure there were plenty of infections at Disney World yesterday.
Yeah. I think they might have started, actually, at Disney World. I like when you called me from the Tesla, and it was so obvious that you had called me from the Tesla because you were not a care in the world, just flying home.
No, I just got in the car. I said, I got to check on Rob.
Yeah, that's very nice of you.
Hi.
Your camera, you have
I'm aware that my camera's not turned on. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, you have the virtual camera selected in StreamYard.
Ah, that's exciting. Wasn't that wonderful? Sorry about
This lends an air of mystery to your broadcast, Mike.
I know it does. I'm just trying to make my way. There we go. Hi, like everybody.
I'll just have a picture of Mike on standby for when that happens.
That would be exciting. I think that would be wonderful. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Sorry about that.
We'll need some headshots, Mike.
What's that?
We'll need some headshots. And now here's Mike getting closer. It's like that ancient film of the train coming to the camera.
Hi.
Hi. Now, you know what?
There's no quick way, by the way, to
redo this. No, it's the worst.
This.
Oh, it's the worst.
Sucks ass.
The way camera moves in and out is like when you go to the eye doctor and you have to stare at the hot air balloon.
Yeah. Exactly.
It zooms in and out and comes into focus.
Yeah. So Google is new. That's the gist of that, that story.
They want AI. Stop going to ChatGPT.
The first live MMA event broadcast, and that was the one, the first broadcast on Netflix, I should say.
Yeah.
Featuring a double comeback bout between Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano. It was a record setter. It was a big deal.
Shortest fight?
Yeah.
It always is.
Let's see. It attracted the most U.S. viewers in the sports history. Pretty cool. Netflix and Jake Paul's most valuable promotions. That guy making some good moves.
He really is.
Yeah. Let's see. They reported Saturday's event in Inglewood, California drew as many as 17 million viewers worldwide, including a peak of 11.6 million in the U.S. The U.S. figure surpassed the previous MMA record of 8.8 million in 2011. So it's been a long time since they set a record. That was for the UFC on Fox One. The 39-year-old Rousey performed. I think Gina Carano got $1 million for that. And I think they got a bargain out of that. Although, and the consumers got a ripoff because it was 17 seconds with the armbar, and she jumped up smiling, and people were pissed about that.
If she really wants a deal, she has to make a movie with Adam Sandler. But other than that, $1 million for a fight is not bad.
Well, not bad, but I mean, when you compare it to what they must have made, what Jake Paul must have made with that, it must be stunning.
That a lot of people say it was the sexiest fight ever.
Well, I think I find Gina Carano to be like absolutely enthrallingly hot based on the fact that she is so tough and there's that meanness in both of them. Yeah. I think there's something attractive about tough women and they fit the bill. But the criticisms they're getting are that they were too friendly and too respectful of each other. I get that.
James,
too.
Man, you know, that's what chicks are like.
No, but I saw an analysis of this fight that people say, you know, you got to have something on the line. You got to have something, some skin in the game. Yeah. And neither one of them really did.
Did you watch it in clips or did you watch the live?
I did not watch it live. I watched the clips the next day.
And the entire event is about a clip long.
Yeah. 17 seconds with the armbar.
Did you get the feeling that it was sort of like an exhibition match because they were both getting their money? So yeah, 100%. What the hell?
It was a drag. Yeah. But you know what? Some of the biggest money makers in combat sports of any kind are always anticlimactic. They always are.
Always it have been. Sucks. Has there ever been? When is the last time there was a really good fight? I don't follow the sweet stuff.
Mike Tyson era, you know, and the Ronda Rousey Holly Holm fight was a spectacular bout. That was one of the, and that's one of the last ones I remember with that.
Josh always talks about Max Baer Sr.
Yes, way back in the day.
And I'm sure next month will be the highest watched MMA thing again with the UFC.
Are you not White a House fan? One. Do you not like the combat sports? No,
I'm not a fan.
Okay. You've heard about the side hustles. Josh knows a lot about that, where people try to make extra money flipping homes, finding and reselling vintage items, and buying storage units without knowing what's in them. But this is new. Pay attention, Mr. Soroka. The idea is this is called dumpster diving around college campuses. The idea is that as students move out for the year, like around now, they're ditching valuable stuff like furniture, clothing, electronics, and appliances. Some stuff they may have only had in their dorms for less than a year.
They don't want to move it.
It makes sense, especially at expensive colleges where rich kids are fine leaving their old stuff behind.
You know, at VCU, this was popular. I remember when I graduated, we did some dumpster diving. We found two juniors and a sophomore.
Bada bing, bada boom. Let's see. The friends say they make a good living doing it and have even funded vacations by finding, organizing, and cleaning the trash and then reselling it. And they don't even need to buy a lot of the cleaning supplies because that's another thing that the students are just tossing of from course. Their dorms and apartments. One of them says, every day is like Christmas morning. This is a really fun hobby that's definitely changed our lives. It feels good to know that we saved something, giving it a second life with people who really need it.
Not as fun in August, I bet.
But that's the time of year they're doing it when it warms up. Josh, any thoughts of... Rolling over to some of the finer universities in the area and checking it out.
Those kids went home about 3 weeks ago, so it's a little late for me now. And I don't think I'm going to expand the dumpsters.
Yeah, to me, it's still going through garbage, and I'm not sure I would want to do that.
My college refrigerator is still working.
That's wonderful, and you keep it right next to you, right next to you. Right.
I put my foot in it to keep it cold.
That's where you got that leg. Cooling. There's a Billy Joel biopic in the works. It's called Billy and Me, and it's told from the perspective of the guy who discovered him and managed his early career up to his breakout hit, Piano Man.
It's not that boy band guy, is it?
Let's see. Here's another thing about it. It's unauthorized, and Billy does not want it to happen. His rep issued a statement saying the people behind the movie don't have the rights to Billy's life, and they won't get the rights to his music either. He added that Billy has not authorized or supported this project in any capacity, and any attempt to move forward without it would be both legally and professionally misguided.
Boo-hoo, Billy. You just had
Billy's
a four-hour
been through crap
thing.
With managers. Billy's been through a lot of crap with management, and I don't blame him for being full nuclear on this.
Well, you hold back
your
music. That's how you win.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell the story without the music. But keep in mind, he just put out a four-hour documentary that told the entire thing about his entire life, where he came off smelling pretty good.
Exactly.
So focus on that, Billy.
No, you
don't
put
out a press release.
You know, if Billy was Paul, you'd be agreeing with his heavy-handedness.
No, I wouldn't. I would say
it's... I like Billy. Don't pick on Billy. What were you going to say, Josh?
Well, don't put out the press release. We didn't know about this movie. Now we know about this movie.
Because Billy put it on the map.
Is Tom Hanks in this movie?
Well, hey, we got to get to that at some point.
Okay.
We have to get to that documentary. Right. A report looked into the most desired body types using surveys and data from dating apps, and the perfect male body is 15% body fat, which is the thinnest and most athletic build that they considered. As part of the study, women were shown side-by-side comparison images and asked to pick the physiques they found most attractive. So ripped guys are hot, huh? Just a second while I make a note of that. That's important.
What about
a male body fat?
Guys?
What's that?
What about infected guys?
A male body fat percentage of 20% ranked second, followed by 25%. But thinner isn't always better. The perfect female body is 30% body fat. Which is in the middle range, they considered. A 25% body fat level came in second, both beating out the thinnest option of 10%. Experts say there are several theories behind why women gravitate towards chiseled male physiques. Well, I don't think it needs a study for
this. I love the fact that you're really catering to our audience here.
Mentally linking muscularity to perceived strength, health, and protection. Well, that's valid.
Sure.
In a similar report from dating.com 2 years ago, nearly 75% of single people said they were fans of the dad bod. I think that was a made-up story.
I do, too. I think it was a created story back then. I remember when it came out.
A separate poll from Planet Fitness found 78% of women associated dad bods with confidence, and nearly half said a softer stomach was basically the new six-pack. Don't believe it.
No.
Not attracted to
the
hot.
They asked me, and I said that the perfect female body was 30% body fat and 70% nasty booty.
Thank you very much, Rob Spivak. Someone online shared a photo of their TV remote in its packaging plastic.
Yeah.
And commented, brand new TV, and this is how my wife insists we have the remote to keep it looking good.
Oh, like people that used to put plastic over their furniture.
We're also not allowed to peel the protective film from the screen for the same reason.
Oh, it's the most satisfying thing in the world to peel the film.
That must have struck a nerve with people because it attracted more than 70,000 likes and 11,000 comments. One person said, it's not like it's preserving its value or anything. That TV isn't going to be any more valuable when you're done with it because you did this.
No, it's true.
Another said, keep it looking good for who? Do you have a special guest come over where you bust out the nice china and take remotes out of their packaging?
Now, that's, I don't know if this makes me a mental patient, but anytime I buy an appliance like that, is a TV an appliance? No. Every time I buy a piece of electronics like that, I go on the web and I buy a backup remote and I put it in a safe place in case something goes wrong, in case I lose it, in case it gets dropped in a glass of water, whatever.
In case you have good company over.
Yeah, and no, it's not for the company because, you know, TVs now, you can't operate them without the remote. It's not like
another
the old
person
days.
Said the TV can overheat and break if you don't take the films off. I don't buy that.
No, that can. It depends. It can? Sometimes the films cover the vents on the back. That's the issue.
What about at Costco? They have all those TVs up there. They never overheat.
As for the remote, if you wash your hands when needed, that thing would still be looking brand new. And someone sensible said, just buy a second remote like Rob does.
Oh, okay. There I didn't realize that was coming up.
I don't think I've ever purchased a remote that wasn't, because of a broken one or something like that.
During COVID, I remember going to a hotel that had the remote in the Ziploc bag.
To keep the germs on the outside.
I assume they would then replace the bag for each new person.
We've had plenty of those stories where they say those remotes are the most filthy thing that you will ever come across.
Right.
My favorite remote story ever, my dad got frustrated once. And he was back in the days of Media General Cable. The remote was really big. And my dad was not a patient man. And he threw the remote against the wall and it burst into a million pieces. And as he said, the buttons fell like teeth. And so he called the people. He said, my remote is broken. Can I get a new one? They said, yeah, just bring in the old one. So he put it in a literal Ziploc bag because all the teeth were in it, all the buttons. And they came in and they looked at him and he said, I dropped it.
That's it. Sporting fans all over will be relating to that one. I don't know which would be dirtier, a motel remote or Rob's leg.
I don't know. My leg, either one you don't want in the bed.
Right, they both cause infection.
Finally today, a man in Indiana was arrested after police say he was found dancing in the road while holding a rare turtle. The man was holding an Eastern box turtle, which is illegal to have, and methamphetamine, which is also illegal to have.
Not
the
legal,
man,
right.
He was arrested on drug charges, booked into jail. It's unclear if he'll face additional charges for the turtle, which was unharmed, by the way. Conservation officials released the turtle near the area where it was removed and returned it to its natural habitat. It's unclear why the guy had the turtle, but it sounds like he just collected it from the wild.
Weird.
While he was walking. Yeah. Due to the good condition of the turtle, the man will be represented in court by lawyers from PETM, People for the Ethical Treatment of Meth Heads. Thank you very much. We're here all week. We will take a short break, ladies and gentlemen, and come back with more. But first, I want to tell you about our good friends at Amazon. Now, we have a couple of cross-pollination things going on. I was low on my liquid IV and just hopped on the Mike O'Mara Show website, which is tmospodcast.com. I clicked on Amazon, went down to Liquid IV, which I've ordered before on Amazon, and bingo, bango, there it was.
Yep.
And grabbed it and supported the show at the same time. You're just starting to do this. It's starting to show up.
Right.
We appreciate that. Go to tmospodcast.com. Do all your Amazon shopping. If you're buying something from Amazon, do it through our page. That's all we ask. Doesn't cost you a nickel more. It's an affiliate program that we loved for many, many years, and we are absolutely thrilled to have it back. So please, please, please just do that for us. It's easy, it's free, and honestly, you're probably shopping on Amazon anyway. Click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. That's it. That's all you have to do.
That's all you do.
You shop, we benefit, everybody wins. You can also check out our favorite stuff, electronics, seeds. Those, of course, those sunflower seeds that I get. Slide whistles, whatever else seemed like a good idea at the time. So next time you Amazon, start at tmospodcast.com. Please do that. It helps us enormously. Shop, support, repeat. And thanks for helping keep the chaos alive. We love you for it. Mwah.
Mwah.
Boy, so much that I haven't gotten to. I think, Rob, I want to talk to Josh. Josh, is there anything noteworthy from your Disney birthday celebration, or was it just a wonderful evening with you and your bride?
We had a great time. Crowds were down. Weather was a little cooler. It was great.
It was good. So you had a good time. Then that means we can get to the
I just have one question for Josh, though, real quick. Real quick, Josh. Was the food worth the money you paid for it at Gaston's Castle?
All right, we can get into the food.
Okay.
the food was the worst food I've had at Disney. Oh.
And so Gaston's Castle was French food, I take it?
Well, I guess. I don't know. I had filet mignon, but it wasn't
good. That's a French word, yes.
What were some of the other items on the menu? I'll tell you whether the cuisine was international or not.
Oh, I don't remember.
French
fries? You don't remember?
Fries.
Was that
bad?
I don't remember.
French dressing?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. It was multiple options of steak and chicken.
Okay, so it sounds like maybe it was more of an Americanized menu.
It was. Yeah. It was.
Disneyized, Mike.
Now,
what's
now
so horrible about it?
It was not good. When I went to...
Are you burping it up right now?
No, when I went to...
It tastes like Gaston's cream sauce.
When I went to the Hollywood a few weeks ago, I had the best steak I've ever had, and it was at a Disney restaurant.
Okay. So that excited you, and now you are eager to go back and celebrate your wife's birthday because you guys have that year-long pass that you're getting the most out of.
This is probably this is a silly question because I don't think you'll remember. What kind of steak, what cut of steak did you get at the Brown Derby?
Filet mignon.
Oh, is that your favorite steak, John?
Well, it's what was on the menu at both places.
A lot of kids like that.
Don't get defensive.
No. Now, I'll tell you this. Yeah, the meal, it's Disney, so it's expensive, but whatever, it's her birthday. But we did try something new with our reselling yesterday before going to Disney, where instead of going to the bin store, we went to the Disney outlet that sells all the stuff like leftover from the parks real cheap.
You mean like and people's clothing that they...
No, I don't think it's lost and found. I think it's merchandise that didn't move.
You know, like merchandise
that doesn't sell.
That doesn't sell. They move it here and they cut it to like a third of the price.
A lot of the merch from the 1940s and 50s when it was less culturally relevant?
No, it's like 6 months
insensitive?
Old. Okay. You know, it's
I would
like
imagine with the
stuff
Disney,
from celebrating the New Year's.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine with the Disney model of just... squeezing every nickel they can, that there must be a lot of crap in that
And they've got some type of festival or celebration every 2 months, so then they move that over. But I'll tell you, here's what I did. I bought three different purses at the Disney outlet that were like $40 each. And I said, I'm going to put these online. I'm going to double the price, see what happens. I did that in the parking lot. Before we got to the Magic Kingdom, they all sold.
You didn't sell them in the parking lot.
They sold?
They all sold. I have to mail them out today. Covered our bad dinner.
That's awesome. That's
if there are any leftovers, you should put them in the purse.
Well, you are the guru of online sales.
It's working out. Yesterday was a good day for us.
That's awesome. And the food sucked.
The food was no good.
Any birthday cake or any birthday treats?
They brought out dessert. It was like a mousse thing in the shape of a rose because we were at... Belle's
guest on the Beauty and the Beast
castle, and the and then they brought out a birthday card from the Beast for Kelly. We didn't see the Beast, but
the Beast took her in the back room.
You are looking at a man who is getting burned on Disney, ladies and gentlemen. He is getting burned out on Disney.
Yesterday we had a great time. Lines, we didn't wait more than 10 minutes for a line.
So you did some rides.
We did a lot of rides.
Actually, Mike, the line he was talking about was the restroom.
Yesterday was a great day, really low crowd, and I was expecting, it's the first time we've gone to the Magic Kingdom, which I always thought was the huge crowds, and yesterday it was not. Small crowd.
Well, you know, kudos to you, because I don't go anywhere except to baseball practices and the golf course. That's about it. My wife, she goes to Burn Fitness, and she goes to the baseball field, too, and it's, you know, we're ready for a little exploration and, you know.
I go to the emergency room.
You go to the emergency room. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Martin Short documentary, Rob.
Life is Short. Marty: Life is Short.
Rob said something about this doc. Now, this documentary is behind the scenes with the life of Martin Short. It's a love letter to Martin Short.
And unlike the Billy documentary you were talking about earlier, the Billy Joel one, this is in total cooperation with Martin Short because it has a billion of his home movies in it.
Right. And I look forward to a little point counterpoint here. Yesterday, right. Rob said, you know, I would love to hang out with him.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that it talks about all of his wonderful family and how funny his family was. And then it talks about the tragedies like losing his wife and daughter, losing his brother, I believe it is, that passed away. Was it his brother or his father?
He lost a daughter.
A daughter. He lost a daughter. Yes, lost a daughter. It's got the heavy, like, you know, loss that if you live long enough, you all experience it. Rob made a comment yesterday that made me think, and Rob said, boy, I would love to hang out with him. And I said, you really probably wouldn't be, you'd be very disappointed.
You made me think on that a little bit. I don't know
if I would. The glitterati, he is very much the glitterati. And that's why, and by the way, I don't know what it is about Tom Hanks where I've soured so much on him over the years.
I enjoyed that part of the movie. I liked Steven Spielberg shooting Tom Hanks and Martin Short.
I felt that that was, I don't know. It just
to me, I feel like that love what they do. Okay, here with a home movie camera, they're still doing the same stuff.
They're still doing their shtick, and I really
those words you said yesterday hung with me, and I thought about it. And you said, you know, being part of the glitterati. And I said, you know, whenever I see him being part of the glitterati, he seems to almost be doing it as a goof. Like when he's over the top, I don't think he's really kind of like that.
Here's what I think, though.
Okay.
When they asked one of the principals, Andrea Martin or somebody like that, where I don't have a song ready, I would imagine that those social gatherings are like almost PR.
Well, they got to be tedious. When would you want to go to a party?
If you're going to a party where everybody performs, I would be like, ugh.
Well, it's because you want those people to think of you for their next project.
I think so. And I think when Rob said he'd love to hang out because he looks like some, you know, a fun guy, I'm not going to say that he's not living a great life and been amazingly successful. I don't know whether he has a lot of time for anybody that is not. If your hang is with Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, and you know, they're just. I don't think that group is bringing over the dentist from the other side of the
room. They're showing us what we want to see. They're showing us what he wants us to see. Maybe there are nights with the neighbor or with someone like Max Gale.
Yeah, and this is my inner cynic that controls my life. And, you know, it's
the thing that I took away from it is that he really wants to be a movie star, and he's never made really a good movie.
He doesn't care about it, according to the documentary. Right. Now, Circle Beyond writes that Martin Short is reportedly dating his Only Murders in the Building co-star Meryl Streep. Of course he is.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Of course he is. It's like, I smell a rat. I'm sorry. I smell a rat.
I smell less of a rat than I did with Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson.
Well, no. Yes. I think that it just, the life is like almost like showbiz royalty, no one else need apply.
But you have to have that way. You think Tom Hanks can just go to a party with normal people?
Probably not.
No, that's why he always turned you down, Mike.
And he even said they got close to Martin Short and his wife because their kids were the same age.
Okay, you're right.
With other parents.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
I get it. I just, I think that
when he presents himself,
you're in a room with a lot of people who believe their own press. That's true. That's what I'm trying to say.
But when you're in a room and your host, Martin Short, is there with a camera and he's acting like he's Joan Crawford in 1950 and how everything is marvelous and this is my house and this is everything, he's got to be doing it as a goof. He can't genuinely think. I think he likes to play that he's like old Hollywood or something like that. And that's probably something he likes to do. But I don't think he's really like that. Because, when you see him
in
like
a, he has an off switch.
Maybe not. Like when you used to see him on Letterman, he's the greatest Letterman guest because he'd come on in character.
I love him on talk shows.
And he'd prepare and he was
perfect. Works his ass off. I'm not questioning his abilities as a comic actor and a sketch comedian, probably one of the best ever that's ever existed.
Maybe
I'm just talking about the behind the scenes stuff when it's Spielberg and Hanks and they're on their yacht and it's like,
But can't you counterbalance that with...
Like, get the camera. Let's get this.
Yeah, but counterbalance that with video of him and his kids, him and his wife.
Yeah.
That was genuinely sweet and was not shot for any reason other than the fact that they were in love.
Okay, I'm just an asshole.
No, you're not. But I understand because you know what? It's dangerous.
Somebody wrote, it seems very staged. It seems staged to me, too. It did.
It's dangerous anytime you enter a documentary or anything like that of someone that you really hold in high esteem. Because even if it doesn't paint them in a bad way, it can show threads that make them appear that way. So I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't diminish the work he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Great, very funny man. And you know what? I would love to have a two-hour hang with him and come back and say, I was miserable.
You know what this is a result of? Do you remember how long I waited to get Don Rickles on the show?
I remember precisely.
Do you remember how crushed I was after that?
Yeah.
But he just absolutely had nothing to do with us. Just like, there you go. Just talking like that.
And
Rodney wasn't on. He didn't give a rat's ass.
Rodney was bad too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
They get paid to go on, like Ronda Rousey.
Well, let me tell you a good show that I saw. I'll tell you that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. And that is something very special happened at the Ball Yard last night. And I was thrilled with it. But first, I want to tell you about a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, life stacks up on you. We've certainly had examples of that this week. Stress, burnout, anxiety, family stuff, work stuff. Literally. And a lot of people hit that point where they think, you know what, I should probably talk to somebody. But then comes the frustrating part. When you're trying to narrow down a therapist that takes your insurance and doesn't cost a fortune. I think a lot of people put therapy on the back burner because of that hassle.
Right.
That's why I want to tell you about Rula, R-U-L-A. Rula is a healthcare company that helps connect you with licensed therapists and mental health providers that are covered by insurance. And that's the big difference. They work with over 100 insurance plans, and the average copay for patients is just about $15 per session. That will get you the help you need for most people. In some cases, it could even be $0, depending on your coverage. And they don't just throw you at the first available therapist. Rula will match you with providers based on your needs, preferences, goals, and backgrounds. So you can actually find somebody who feels like the right fit for you. Plus, no endless wait lists. You can find appointments available as soon as tomorrow. If you really think this is something that can benefit you, go to Rula and check it out. Mental health care should be accessible. You use insurance for your physical health. Why not your mental health, too? That's the whole business of Rula. Thousands of people are already using it to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/TMOS to get started today. That's RULA.com/TMOS. You deserve mental health care that works for you, not against your budget. So check them out at Rula today. I love that sponsor, and I love making healthcare and therapy more accessible for anybody.
It is healthcare or mental healthcare awareness month. I might be wrong, but I think it is. And folks, it's not a crime. Take care of yourself. This is a big deal.
At the Ball Yard last night, my son had a practice for his all-star team that has their first tournament, a warm-up tournament in Sarasota, Florida this weekend. On the weekend, we had a practice, and when we arrived, the other all-star team was there. Now, the only division where there are two all-star teams is 12U. I'm not sure why that is, but it is the fact.
Right.
You've got 9U, 10U, 11U, and then you've got two teams in 12 and under. And you've got the A team and the B team. My son is on the B team.
Okay.
And the A team is run by one group of parents and one group of coaches, and of course the B team run by the other. They are separate teams, and I'm here to say, pretty official after last night, not a lot of cooperation between the teams. Not a lot of cooperation. We were banished to the minor league ball field over the weekend, and there was a lot of razzle-frazzle, grumbling and all that.
Without naming Team A or Team B,
yes,
would you say that one of the organizations was less likely to bend? Less likely to compromise.
Yes.
Or was it equal? Or was it not a split?
Well, in the case of last night, I'll tell you what happened eventually, but I will tell you that this is the dynamic.
Okay.
You have these teams, and usually the coach's sons are on these teams.
Right.
That's just the way it goes. Josh knows this about Little League.
It's politics. That's
the way they roll. And then you have the person who seems to be responsible for scheduling is the wife of the coach and mother of one of the kids on the teams,
sure.
And it's the A team, and there was some sort of discussion going on. I was not privy to it between our coach of the B team and this lady, and it did not seem like it was going particularly well. And all I know is that at the end of the discussion, we were on the field, the big field, for about an hour and 15 minutes, but they got 45 minutes at the end, and I was satisfied with
that. That's not
bad. There's a real good turnout for the A team, probably not as much for us B teamers. I'm there all the time because I just love watching baseball. And, you know, my feeling is that it ought to be more cooperative, but I do believe that there's a perception on the other side that, you know, we are not going to stoop down to there. And that is why my competitive fires are burning brightly, with the fact that I didn't like what I saw last night. I didn't like the fact that we are fighting over one field. I think they ought to be able to coordinate things a little bit better. And B, that I believe we have a competitive team. I believe we have a competitive team that is so competitive that I think the A's and B's are very nicely matched, if you get my drift. And I want more anything to beat that number one team if we
and
ever
when-
if it happens that our paths cross again.
Mm-hmm. You know? Do they have to, are they put into the same tournament? How will you end up crossing paths?
Districts.
Okay.
I think that's the way it works, but you'd be hard pressed to get me, you know, to give you all the details because I'm a moron dad when it comes to that. You know?
When people show up to watch the A team, is anyone disappointed that George Peppard is not there?
There you go. You had to. There it is. George Peppard. There are 70-year-old people in our audience that are laughing at that right now.
Mike, you know? be fair. At least I didn't take the easy route. I didn't say Mr. T.
Mr. T was in that too. But anyhow, we'll see what happens. But it's making me feel very competitive in that if it was me, I would say you let them all on the field. You have scrimmages. You get them all as good as they can be. But there is but that ain't happening.
Right.
Because the group that's always been there for years and years and years, they got their thing going.
Do any of the moms?
And by the way, several of the kids were, banished to the B that were on the A last year. Right. It's
do any
a
of the,
whole thing. And it's
do any
a
of
joke.
The moms look like real housewives?
No, not really. And I know moms from the A side, and I know moms from the B side, and I'm A-OK with all of that. But now they're on one side, and we're kind of on the other side.
I hate divisiveness. I hate it. It's ruining this country. But in this case, it'll make your teams better.
Amen.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll move forward, and I say amen. Let's move on. We will return, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we are like super late today, aren't we?
Yeah, I have
one more break before your beautiful stuff, right? Don't I?
No, the next break is the beautiful stuff.
Beautiful stuff. I'm glad I'm on time. Then I'm very much on time. I'm very happy that I'm doing that. Do you have some prepared with all your hospital visits? I want to make sure you have it standing
by. I had time,
Mike,
to take I had a Tascam tape recorder, and I went into Gaston's castle, and I collected a lot of audio there.
This steak tastes like ass. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hey, what's your beef?
I'll tell you what I hate, paying top dollar to my local grocer for overpriced, underwhelming steaks, and then cooking them up and saying, meh, It's too much money and too much grief. That's why this podcaster relies on Omaha Steaks. Right now, taste the difference and take an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com when you use promo code Mike at checkout. Omaha is my favorite because they do beef right. Unmatched quality, incredible variety, and every bite backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Each steak is perfectly aged for maximum tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917, and they're still raising the bar. From tender USDA certified steaks to juicy burgers, versatile chicken, pork, and more, Omaha Steaks delivers unbeatable quality and variety every single time. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality protein right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Mike at checkout. Mike is a new code, so don't mess with it, Clyde. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code Mike. Terms apply. See site for details. Let's eat! God, I love that sponsor.
So good.
I really do. Love Omaha Steaks. Thank you for your sponsorship of the Mike O'Mara Show. Without further ado, let's get to the video, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, brand new sponsor for Beautiful Video, your local record store.
Michael Jackson is back in action with his new album, Thriller. Thriller, Michael's new album featuring his latest hit, Billie Jean, plus his smash single with Paul McCartney, The Girl Is Mine. Michael Jackson's Thriller, the excitement never lets up.
Available at all Sam Goody stores for $6.99 LP, $7.49 tape.
It's just so weird to me to think that was, you know, in my lifetime.
Yeah, and that was an album, boy.
Oh, the
that
best.
That was an album.
All day, someday, yeah. Mike, I will, I'll debate it with you. I think Off the Wall is a better album.
Oh, I agree
album.
With you with that. Yeah. There is no debate. You're right. Off the Wall, better album.
Yeah. You know, Josh, I pulled this for you because you weren't here yesterday. And also, I got an unexpected surge of support from people who like this lady. Mike, do you remember yesterday we had her name, Mim Paquin, and her web series Never She Sang?
She's the lady impressionist, and she was doing an impression of your Murder, She Wrote,
Angela. Angela Lansbury. But yeah, also, Mike, Angela Lansbury was a key voice in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So I thought I'd help Josh relive Kelly's birthday just a short 12 years later.
I could hear this again.
Now, this is a story all about how my life got flipped upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
So accurate. It's frightening. No dancing, please.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool.
This is a niche video person.
It is. It is.
Rob Spiewak is right in that niche, ladies and gentlemen.
You just can't get enough of it, Mike.
Oh, no.
Early to rise and early to bed.
Okay. All right. Okay,
that's enough of that. Meanwhile, in this current century, Mike.
That might have ended her.
Yeah, right there. Thank you.
Well, she's not posting any videos. She has infections.
Okay.
LSU had a great keynote speaker.
I love LSU. Louisiana State University.
Do you know who their keynote speaker was this year?
Who?
For the graduation? A little guy called Shaq. One of your favorites.
Oh, my hero. My favorite. The guest that I am telling you right now, if I was ever lucky enough to have that man on this show,
yes,
you would see tears. That's how much I love Shaq. I love Shaq.
That's how much it meant to me.
Love Shaq. You know, I love him. No, I love everything about him. I love the way he rolls. I love the man.
I believe he got to speak because he did get a master's degree. I think it's a real one, not an honorary one.
Right.
But I think you'll enjoy this. And Josh, thank you for sending me his entire speech in clips. This was my favorite one, though.
Where were we living? One day, Charles Barkley was fat. The next day, he's skinny. I don't know what happened, but this world is crazy.
He's the fat. The
he's
man
great.
Brings joy wherever he goes. You should see him walk anywhere. The man is just, he knows himself so well, you know?
He gave five pieces of advice for the students. And number one was like, have a great life and go buy my candy at 7-Eleven.
Shaqalicious gummies, yeah.
That man
That makes me laugh.
I've had them, and they're great.
Oh, he's the best.
Mike, let's close with this. We are all dog owners, and I know we all love our dogs, and I also think we realize that our dogs have shortcomings. And so when you watch a when you watch a super dog competition, it just makes you feel bad for your own dog because you know your own dog could never pull this stuff off. And I want you to see Sir Jumps-A-Lot.
Okay.
That's his name.
Sir Jumps-A-Lot. I can't wait.
Sir Jumps-A-Lot. Maybe this will make you feel a little better about your dog.
Highest jumping golden retriever in Ontario. Here to show you what he can do. Let's make some noise for Sir Jumps-A-Lot.
For those of you just listening, Sir Jumps-A-Lot just ran through the fence there. So the attaboy Jumpy.
Didn't jump at all. Yay.
Mike, you know why? Canadian dog.
Canadian dog, watch out. Massing along the border. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. And we'll find out another thing that Mr. Spiewak hates. And I'm not even going to mention the actor, but Rob is hating on him. And I don't know where it comes
Hate
from.
Hate keeps me young.
As one of the cast members of the Mike O'Mara Show said, Dumplin Mania.
I'm that so excited because I don't know what this means.
I don't
I'm
either.
Very thrilled.
But, you know, it's.
I thought Mike would be there with me.
It's something I don't even know about it. Maybe I will. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
What was
just
that?
Flashed it.
That's
something.
A little bit of Dumplin Mania.
Little Dumplin Mania for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What in the hell do you think you're doing here? This is a closed set.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants or fire a rocket?
Wiggle, 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 wig. Yeah, yeah, do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah, I'm sexy and I know it.